My job is fantastic. It also requires me to do self-directed performance reviews and ideas of how I'll be spending the next year and what my priorities and intentions are. Since I had to write that anyway, I'll tell you right now what I'm hoping to do. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. My performance reviews are very light affairs. My manager is very understanding of the strangeness and the uniqueness of what needs to be done, and simply wants me to give feedback about what different priorities come to the fore in my observations. At the Internet Archive, the generally open policies of uploads, contribution, and collaboration mean that I get to watch what thousands upon thousands of people think belongs in an archive. Physical donations need a form to be filled out, during which the person is forced to give essays, calculations, provenance, and other bits of information they might not otherwise think about. This means that we know that some amount of self-reflection has gone into them. Not quite so much when it comes to the digital uploads. People seem to have, from my observations, extraordinarily different ideas of what should go into an archive, and most importantly, how it should be packaged. There are people who look at the Internet Archive as a large, unified whole where every single descriptive item should be filled to the max, cross-contextualized with other items to the point of links in the description, having specific thematic identifiers to let you know what part of this unified collection this object belongs in. And then there are folks who will upload a large zip file and walk away. Each of those people may be bringing in equally valid material, but one of them visualizes the whole process as being something they have to do, while the other sees it as a gift that they get to drop off data and leave it there, making sure that the professionals would handle it. Obviously, it's easier for a script written by me or others to evaluate a description-filled, fully contextualized item and find a home for it. A person who is uploading, say, 10,000 documents, all within a specific area, can be given a collection and their uploads automatically added there, letting their process and their descriptions become the dominant finding guide for those materials. Others, of course, are much harder to find. A 7-zip file buried inside of a zip file with a 1-word description that sort of indicates what's inside. And as the person in charge of classifying the software that's coming in through the front door, I'll confess that it's a bit of a Christmas for me to wander down into an undescribed, unclassified object and discover exactly what that person has added. Because for many of these items and the people behind them, they might represent a comprehensive self-enclosed ecosystem of something that, milliseconds before, I didn't know we needed, and milliseconds afterward realized that we were wanting without having it on our hard drives. Maybe somebody's taken an effort to grab every known BIOS from every printer they ever had access to, or throw together the installers for a wide range of web browsers going decades into the past. While it would be nice to have the full descriptions, overview, and finding aids, it's not something I'm going to put my foot down about. These thousands of incoming items every week represent an urge, a desire, and a wish. They're the result of what happens when there's a dearth of guidance or a gulf of awareness of what has been saved and what hasn't. We absolutely have many different versions of the same program, provided because people simply thought that we should have it, without taking that extra bothersome step of figuring out whether we already had it. But I have also discovered that there are people who quietly keep their own collections, their own curated parts of the software whole, and then, one day, realizing what they're sitting on, pack it up as quickly as possible and upload it to the Internet Archive with a nebulous idea of some sort of persistent preservation of the work they've done. Nothing, for me, captures this bizarre contrast of worthlessness, intent, and hopes than the Wojak collection. If you're not aware of what a Wojak is, it's a meme face that's used on 4chan and other image boards and has long ago leaked into the general population, the culture of online. It's a character in black and white, scrawled, that looks dismayed, depressed, sad. A way of indicating, in its own iconic way, different feelings. Since its art on the internet, it has been endlessly manipulated, modified, changed to suit whatever occasion was needed, referencing itself, referencing others, portraying all of those strange parts of the human spirit that some languages can cover and others can't. A Wojak, in its own iconic form, can put forward the idea that you are internally awash with feelings but don't want to express it. A Wojak can be used to show the moment of true bleakness that washes over you, that encompasses you when you look at something in the world. And, for whatever reason, through whatever motivations and whatever goal this person had, they had captured 100,000 Wojaks. Art made from the Wojak, compiled into one singular zip file, uploaded to the Internet Archive, sitting on our hard drives with basically no indication of what was inside. When I stumbled upon this treasure trove, taking up a large amount of space and getting my attention, I added descriptions, graphics, context, and then placed it quietly away into a datasets collection, ensuring in some way that it would be at least nominally easier for you to find. Stripped of its cultural context, I'm not sure what function Wojaks will play in years or decades to come. But I know that if I had discovered a 19th century collection of bizarre editorial cartoons, having had somebody in 1905 do their best across years to clip out all of these cartoons and put them into one singular, large filing cabinet, I would have appreciated it beyond measure. Why then should I not rage with the internal feelings that wash over me over finding 100,000 Wojaks? Encapsulated in the software collection at the Internet Archive are thousands of phone applications, long separated from the phones that once ran them. Flash that no longer plays on any website on the internet without special emulators and extra steps taken to save them. Sitting next to a 5 gigabyte file of every known piece of output from a range of years for a certain platform. Under the current user interface of the Internet Archive, it is rather difficult to be fully aware of the mass of information. And if I let myself fall into despair about this fact, it hides the obviousness that there is, in the future, a better interface coming. Machine augmented, or a set of scripts that build a sort of intermediate database that an interface could use going forward. There will be tools, I tell myself, my faith, looking through neutron stars. I have to hold, internally, the hope that this next generation, this future generation, will be able to transverse all of this data as easy and simply as we glance at the front page of a newspaper. That time, I say, will come. In the meantime, though, I've been refocusing my efforts more and more to evaluating what the Internet Archive has, finding ways to classify it that at least passably gives somebody the opportunity to find what they're looking for, or stumble onto things they didn't know they were looking for, assembled as simply as possible. At the core, this is what this is all about. We are creating mountains of data, not just on a pure sentimental or entertainment value, but truly representing a building block of what makes us ourselves. Having them within reach to be changed into something new, to become a menu of choices in some future interface, or to have itself automatically screenshot and turned into images for a book or a website. All those futures, all those branches of the tree extend as long as I and many others plant the seeds now, long before we can tell you what the color of the leaves are, what the sky will be like when it's filled with this work, and what sort of shade people we will never meet will sit under. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Peter Healy, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Matt Reynolds, Manxalot, Sean Kelly, Dileep Reddy, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Do I think that there's a time when the Internet Archive will not be taking data at the level that it is? I can easily visualize that time because visualizing the end of all things is kind of my deal. I assume that at some point, budget costs or the problems of having too much disk space coming in and change in how much it costs to conduct business on the internet will cause us to become more and more of a friction-filled process. Either you'll have to be vetted as somebody who can upload, or there will be some sort of external process that we are not part of that then allows us to have non-redundant pieces of what people are uploading added to the corpus. This isn't some sort of insider knowledge or some sort of clairvoyance. This is just me observing how all things are, that they all have lifespans, they have times, phases, changes in priority, and different approaches to what they're doing. Putting your entire identity or your happiness into one phase of what is obviously an ever-evolving entity is madness. It will only lead to despair, to betrayal, to misery. What I am saying, and this applies universally, is enjoy where you are. Enjoy what you have. Take pleasure in each day. And always, always have a bag nearby, ready to pack and go.